Blog Talk Radio.
And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, we have to press the government for reparations. Listen, as long as you ask for a job, and they don't have them these days, but they can promise it, you're going along to get along. Do you know why Elijah Muhammad put on the back page of Muhammad Speaks, we want freedom, full and complete freedom. We want justice. We want equal justice under the law. We want justice applied equally to all, regardless of creed or class or color. We want equality. We want equality of opportunity, and we want equal membership in society with the best in civilized society. But then in point number four, he says, we believe that those of us whose parents, you know, have been here for 400 years, you know, and we believe that you offered us integration as a hypocritical trick to make us believe that our 400-year-old enemy has now become our friend. We believe that this is the time in history for separation. And he says, since we can't get along with you in peace, see, then we think what we've contributed to America, we should have some of this earth that we can call our own. So we need 8 or 10 states with an outlet to the sea. And we want you to supply our needs in this separate territory for the next 20 or 25 years until we can go for ourselves. Now, I had a talk at Harvard with that man, the senator that died, Moynihan. He had talked about birth control among blacks, and I went to Harvard, and we had a little debate, and I told Mr. Moynihan that, you know, we wanted to be separated from you. We don't see you giving us no justice. So we want some of this earth that we can call our own. And I was telling him that we were willing to go in the underbrush and cut the underbrush down and fell the trees and build a nation of our own. And I was telling the Honorable Elijah Muhammad what I told Moynihan. And he said, stop, you was doing all right till you got to that part. Said, you don't tell a white man that you're willing to go back and cut no underbrush. We already did that once. If we have to do it again, that's not progress. Hell no. Get out of the cities and the towns that we helped you build. Go and find some other state to move in. You move out, we move in. Now, wait a minute. You say, oh, come on, Farrakhan, that's a pipe dream. Well, damn, you better put it in your pipe then. You better start smoking what this is. Because that mess that you're talking ain't making no damn sense.
That's right. That's right.
You're going to wait around here another 100 years so they can bamboozle you some more?
That's right. Right.
He said, well, 8 or 10 states, let them go out, we go in, and let them take care of us in that separate territory for the next 20 to 25 years. You say, oh, come on, Farrakhan, they won't do that. Listen, they've been taking care of Israel for 55 years. They've given Israel over $100 billion of your tax dollars, and Israel haven't done nothing for them. You mean to tell me we who built the country, we who brought bled and died to maintain the country, we who gave it art and culture and season it, and you know we can't get along with you in peace as long as we want equal justice? Hell no, we can't wait for you to change. We want a nation. We want to be able to prepare a future for our children. We don't need no rich middle class of Negroes who can't do nothing for the masses of our people. We need land and territory that we can call our own. So reparation got to be on the agenda. We need land, Mr. President. You got all this Federal Reserve land. What you reserving it for? Come on.
Yeah, we need cash.
Right.
Hell yeah, print some more.
Right.
But I ain't gonna give it to you in your foolish state. What are you gonna do with $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 but give it right back to the enemy? It ain't about money. It's about that which will prepare a future for you and your children. You're not going to be on welfare for the rest of your life. You're not going to be out here scrounging and begging white people for a job for the rest of your life. But if you got land that you can build a real world out of it for yourself. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, well, I put it there. They may never give it to you. He said, but I want you to know what justice looks like.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
So they won't offer you a white woman and a few dollars and you think we make it.
Don't get so cold like that.
Some of you Negroes will sell our people out.
That's right. That's right.
For just a little position with white people.
Come on.
You won't sell us out.
No, sir.
You'll be buying your funeral. The future of our people is not to be compromised. It would be better that you were dropped in the bottom of the sea with a millstone around your neck to betray the legitimate aspirations of our people. We got to come out from among them. We got to leave Pharaoh. Leave him. To hell with it. Leave it. Force them to tell you, nigga, I ain't giving you nothing. If you put it on the table strong enough, he'll come out of his bag. See the day he's smiling. Hi. Hi, brother. How are you? See? But if you say, no, wait, no, smile, no pat on the back. Yeah, let's talk about reparation here. See? Then you see him change.
Bang.
Face get red. He opened his mouth and these teeth turn into fangs. Horns come up. Say, now look, we'll give you a monument for the slaves. We'll even help you Negroes have a museum on the mall in Washington. But we'll be damned if we're going to give you anything. Say, well, fine. You're not going to give us nothing. And we're not going to give you nothing. We ain't joining your army. We're coming out of it. We ain't paying no taxes to support a system that's against us. Hell no. See, now you're throwing down the gauntlet. Now, either God is real or we don't need him. God damn it, if God can't come to our defense, who the hell need a God that won't fight for us? Like you stood up for the children of Israel.
Come on.
I don't represent no punk God.
No, sir.
I represent a God that make rain, hail, snow, and earthquake.
Go ahead.
I represent a God that has power over the forces of nature.
Talk about the sun.
I represent a God that can turn men's minds to think and as he pleases. And he really ain't no damn spook. So all of you that fear the white man as a god beside Allah, get the hell over here. I'm willing to die. For the righteousness and the freedom of black people.
Yes,
and I'm not no damn fool.
Yes,
keep on your feet.
Yes, sir.
This is a day of separation.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
You're not
not going to be together.
That's right.
That's right.
Damn it, only those of us who are like-minded.
That's right.
Who the hell want to be with a black man? Come on now. Who's in love with his enemy?
Go ahead.
And faking like he's with us.
Go ahead.
Hey, you.
And that was none other than the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Woo! And in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who came to us in the person of Master Farah Muhammad. And I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his messenger. And I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, leader, teacher, guide, warner, and comforter in our midst. And it is my distinct honor to welcome all of you back to Put on the New Man, our live study group. We would like to greet you in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you, family. Thank you. And welcome back to study group. And, wow, that's an excerpt from I Don't Know When. I think it was done in the Southwest region, but it's similar to the speech that he gave at Chicago State University on reparations. And for those of you who may not have seen that, please go to the archives at the NOI.org program and watch that video. I'm going to turn over the show now to its rightful host, our dear beloved brother, minister, street soldier, dedicated student of the ministry under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, most of all my big brother, who I love so, so very much and who I thank Allah for his dedication and his wisdom that he so freely shares with us. So I would like to present Student Minister James Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, dear sister, soldier, warrior. My beloved sister, Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad. Thank you so much. First, for playing that excerpt, underscoring actually the theme of this show this evening, dealing with reparatory justice or the revitalization of reparation. Now, before we start, I want to thank you, dear sister, for saying, calling me street soldier. You know, the reason why is because the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan stated in the lecture or in the message to which you were referring at Chicago State, given at Chicago State by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, he stated that it is revolution that will cause the enemy to respond positively to our demands for reparatory justice or reparations, not an appeal to some moral principle which he is bereft of or absent of, but revolution. He stated, as he quoted that famous saying, I forgot exactly who stated it, that I think it was W.E.B. Du Bois. I could be wrong, but power, as it is stated, concedes nothing without a demand. And then he said, as he qualified that axiom, he said, power concedes nothing without a demand, and you have to have power behind your demand, otherwise it won't concede anything no matter how much you demand. It's
that's power right
that the enemy recognizes. It's revolution that the enemy responds to. Now, for those of you who are of the faint-hearted put your head under the covers for this show tonight and maybe go in the room, turn out the light and get under the bed, or, you know, get your portable radio and listen to it. And for God's sake, put the earplugs in so that nobody will know that you're listening. But for those of you who want to see the freedom, justice, and equality for the black man and woman of America and throughout the world, it's going to take just that: revolution, warfare, the willingness not just to die. Hell, we have PhDs in dying. But it will also take the willingness to kill. Oh, I know I messed up now, Sister Aziza. So let's just get
into... No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
let's just get into the subject matter. And always...
Yes, sir.
And making an appeal in the name of Allah, with the help of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but He. I bear witness to the oneness of God and to the oneness of His prophetic and revolutionary community and prophet and messenger. As a student of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the ministry of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I can never thank Allah enough for making His presence known to us in the person of Master Farhad Muhammad, the long-awaited Mahdi of the Muslims and the Messiah of the Christian, the self-guided one, that one of whom the scripture says He came seeking to save that which was lost. And He came by Himself. He looked around to see who would uphold Him, and the scripture says He saw no one. So He said, "My own right arm, it will uphold me." An independent, powerful, and supreme God, not a spook or a spirit, but a man. We thank Allah for making His appearance in the person of Master Farhad Muhammad and raising up from our midst His messenger, yes, but more than a messenger now, dear sister, He's Messiah. Yet more than Messiah, He is the arisen and exalted Christ, the one whom the world has been awaiting and expecting for the past 2,000 years. I know you expected a white-looking fella. But we are here to declare that the Messiah, the Deliverer, the Savior that you have been waiting for all the days of your suffering life is a black man from among the former slaves, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And we thank Almighty God Allah, who through the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, He fashioned and shaped and prepared for this critical hour at which we have arrived, a man, but more than just an ordinary man. The hour of which I speak is the hour of the judgment of both the wicked and the righteous, and the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth. And the man of whom I speak is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It is in their holy and righteous name that I am happy, I'm excited. And as you probably can tell, I'm in my war mode. My fighting,
yes, sir,
mode, my warrior mode. See, that's how you get when you're on the street with the final call, sis.
Yes,
our people,
sir,
and those of us who are in this magnificent nation of Islam, You must understand that you really don't know the plight of our people except that you're in the streets with the truth under your arm, witnessing on a personal basis the deplorable condition of our people that the enemy has rendered us in. It would make a brass monkey cry, and it would inspire in you all, in us all, if we have any love for our people and any love for God and any love for justice, it will inspire in us the passion, not just the desire, but the passion to work to see our people free under the wise guidance and leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Our subject for this evening, by the grace of Almighty God Allah, is separation and independence, the basis of which is taken from the 48th and 49th episodes of those series of lectures we were blessed to receive from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, entitled The Time and What Must Be Done. I'm very honored to have my dear brother and fellow student in the ministry, I've known him for many years, to accompany us this evening on this journey. Our panelists, we welcome you, Brother Kadeem Muhammad. And when you hear him, if you recognize the voice, but you don't recognize the name, as he put one over on me last night.
Praise be to Allah, brother.
This is our brother. This is our brother, Rodney Muhammad, who formerly was the student minister in Jacksonville. He was the study group coordinator in Tallahassee, I believe.
And Orlando.
And he's now residing in Pensacola, if I'm not mistaken.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
All praises due to Allah. Good to hear your voice, dear brother.
Good to hear your voice, dear brother.
All praises due to Allah. And we'll be hopefully expecting Brother Student Minister Stanley Muhammad to join us at some point. He's hosting a very wonderful event in College Park, Georgia, this weekend. Our beloved brother and student minister, Nuri Muhammad, is there in College Park, ready to deliver a powerful message on Saturday and Sunday. And so, as you know, hosting a major event requires that the host be on scene 24/7, making sure every T is crossed and every I is dotted, if he's going to ensure a successful event. And make no mistake about it, there's nothing that our brother, Student Minister Stanley Muhammad, will undertake that he has not already decided it would be a success. So we hopefully he will be able to get some time to call in to the show. I'm hesitating because I'm reading some texts of guidance that I've asked my brother Jihad to help me with some scripture. I'm sure he didn't expect me to call him out.
Oh, he needs to come on. He don't need to be texting. He needs to
listen,
come on.
Queen, he said that he would call in. He did say. But you know how humble our brother is. But I wanted the world to know that I consult my young brother for scriptural guidance, both in Bible and Quran. I love him to life. You know how Negroes say, I love you to death? I'm not going to say that. I love him to life. And he sent me a scripture regarding the theme of this show that I'm very thankful for. All praises due to Allah. And for those of you who have your Bibles, you can let me tell you where I'm going to be drawing from. It's 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, the 14th through the 17th verses. All praise is due to Allah. Now, what a wonderful opening, fiery opening of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for tonight's subject. On Saturday, the minister stated that reparatory justice cannot be achieved through cowardice or diplomatic discourse, that is to say parenthetically or in parentheses, begging. Reparatory justice is not a one-day thing. It's not a one-week thing. It is a lifelong struggle until the goal is achieved. But here's the problem, he stated. You know, Moses and Aaron had to go to Pharaoh, and naturally, Moses was a little terrified. I mean, when you have to talk to big, bad white folks, he says, in quote, you have to have something to go with. So when Jehovah said to Moses, now I want you to go and deliver this message to Pharaoh, like a CARICOM Reparations Commission 10-point plan. That's an acronym, CARICOM. 10-point plan. But the first part of that plan is, let my people go. And this is one of the terms that and concepts that we're going to be dealing with, separation and integration and assimilation and miscegenation. So we're ready to roll. You ready to roll, Brother Kadeem, Sister Aziza? You ready to roll?
Yes, sir. I got my boots on.
Absolutely, brother. I'm fired up after hearing the minister.
All praises due to Allah. Let's go to that scripture then. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, the 14th through the 17th verses. Now, I just got the text, so give me a minute to get to it, or a couple of seconds.
I hate to let the cat out the bag, but our dear brother has joined us, so he must have heard my voice.
All praises due to Allah. All praises due to Allah. So let's go to that scripture. And for those of you who have your Bibles handy, please open them up to the 14th chapter, Second Corinthians. What was it again, dear sister? I lost it on my text here.
Second Corinthians, brother. Sixth chapter, 14 through 17.
Thank you. Thank you. All praises due to Allah. Very good. And I'm so excited, I'm telling you, I am so excited, because it's time, dear family. We have tried everything diplomatically, peaceably. There has never been a people more desirous in integrating and assimilating into and in and with their enemy than the black man and woman in America, the so-called Negro. Well, we're going to explore that desire and see where it's taken us, and then we want to deal with the reality of separation. But let's get some scriptural context for this, some scriptural support. In 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and the 14th verse, it reads, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I'm going to read that again. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's Master Farad Muhammad talking there. And finally, the 17th verse reads, wherefore come out from among them. What? You mean don't integrate into them? Don't assimilate with them? No. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Now, I didn't say it. Now, if you want to get upset with somebody, get upset with the Lord and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. All right. Let's roll. All praises due to Allah. I mean, I am so excited, dear brothers and sisters and our listening audience, and we're going to certainly engage our listening audience. There are a couple of excerpts from episode 48 that I'd like to read in the course of the show, but I want to now turn the floor over to our brother Kadeem Muhammad so that he can make some opening remarks and give us a couple of talking points on the subject matter. So at this time, brother Kadeem, go right ahead.
Thank you, dear brother, Minister James. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, the all-wise, true, and living God, who came to us in the divine person of Master Farad Muhammad, we thank Allah for coming and raising up the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. We thank them both for leaving our midst, our leader, our teacher, our guide, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I'd like to greet you with the greeting words of peace, all of you with the greeting words of peace. Of assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
This subject matter today is very timely, and you're going to talk about parts 48 and 49 from what the time and what must be done. And separation. It is time for that, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan spoke about last Saturday, and certainly as we heard him speak about it in the excerpt that preceded the program tonight. And as we read these scriptures, starting with scripture number 14 of chapter 6, be ye not equally unyoked. That, for the most part, when we hear it, people apply it to marriage. But in essence, we're like still married to the enemy. I had a client in Tallahassee. She's a divorce lawyer, and we were talking once. And she shared with me that when a woman divorces her husband, or there's a divorce between a man and a woman, she said that the woman will usually go back to her maid's name, because as long as she keeps his name, he has legally a right of ownership over him or her. And so I asked her, I said, well, we are free as a people of slavery, so-called free. I said, but we kept the enemy's name. Does he have a right over us? Now, she wasn't a Muslim, and she really didn't know how to answer that. But if you think about it, it makes sense. So we have to remove ourselves, completely separate ourselves from our enemy in name as well. I think the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said it as in name as well as in fact. We have to be completely removed from the enemy. Because the Bible says a good name is better than gold. And in the Supreme Wisdom, it says devil's names will not be included. So there are many things that can be talked about when we're talking about separation. It's come out of her. Come out of her way. Come out of her name. Come out of her immoral behavior. Come away from this beast, because all that she represents, she has made Pharisee-me. And everything God says don't do, the enemy says it's okay to do. So this change we're talking about has to start with the changing of the mind. And that's all another part of the scripture would say, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we have an entire process that we have to go through. So just like the minister said, he ain't going to give us $50,000. He won't give that to a Negro. We'll give it back to him tomorrow. Because fool and his money will soon depart. So we have to be of the right mind. So we have to change the way we think. I'm just so full of a whole lot of stuff, brother. I'll be all over the place. But I want to try to stay focused on what it is that you're talking about right here, brother, because I'm passionate about where we're at today in our nation, where we're at today in our individual lives. And we're right at the door. And it's not a time to cower down and want to turn around because it feels like we've been doing this forever and we ain't got nowhere yet. We're right at the door. It's time to leave. It's time to open the door, walk away, leave the enemy. Just like we was talking about last night, it's the same thing. We gotta divorce the enemy. Give him back name. Tell him we don't want him anymore. Trying to get away from him. Give it up. I don't want nothing you got. As long as I got Allah who came in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, as long as I got his Christ, and as long as I'm with and follow their divine messenger and our Miss the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, we're going to be all right.
That's right.
So we don't need this man. But this man, look at him now. People talk about the first and the 50s and the 60s, and I understand the great sacrifice, right? But the enemy changed his strategy of dealing with us. He don't outright necessarily call you a nigga no more and deny you opportunity. There is a movie that came on some years back called I'm Gonna Get You Sucker. And there's a scene in the movie with a brother who was married to the white girl, and they had a little son named Whitey. And the brother who did one of the Wayans brothers in the movie, I don't remember his first name, he asked the guy, what happened? Where's everybody?
Keenan, brother. Yes,
Keenan Ivory Wayans. And the guy said, we went in with guns, and we came out with jobs, and the revolution died. See, the enemy changed his strategy that makes you want to stay with him. He made a few people rich. He give you a little bit of opportunity, but he puts a ceiling on every single opportunity that he give you, including your money. Because even if you got a little money, he'll call you a nigga with money because you're still just a nigga in his eye. But that was just a way of him continuing to fool us that we don't want to leave him. I've seen an entertainer with money saying this is reparations. Yeah, he earned every dollar. He ain't got nothing to do with no damn reparations. He earned what he gave him, but look how foolish of a statement that is. And he has a following and a fan base who agree with his statement. And they are foolishly to say, well, you know, I got this job, I got this opportunity, I got my reparations. No, you're still a slave on the plantation where the master has just changed his technique. And so they don't want to leave. So just like the minister said on one of the early on, when he was doing his talk, he said, he referenced Supreme Wisdom, where it said, why did Musa have a hard time to civilize the devil 2000 B.C.? Well, we can raise that same question today. Why is Muhammad having a hard time to civilize black people in 2000 A.D.? Because we savage, and we in love with our enemy. Because he gives us nothing. So this fight, or I think somebody said prior to me that the way to get a reparation is going to take a revolution. You can't go in and plead with the enemy, but it's going to take a revolution. And I believe when our people who are in love, those who really want to be separated, they will be inspired by the revolution because what we do, the work we do, so we catch hell. that our people are looking at us. They're just afraid, and they're waiting for a voice that will awaken the lion in them. And they'll join on to their own, and they'll leave. But those who don't want to leave, they have the right to stay. If we get our 8 to 10 states, and those who want to stay with the enemy because they think it's all good, let them stay. They'll get what they deserve. So all we have to do is stay focused and keep our eye on the prize and remember what the mission is, the resurrection of the spiritually, mentally dead black man and woman here in the hills of North America. We do our part. God with us. And as long as God be God and he is God and he is with us, we have nothing to worry about. We cannot be afraid. It is that fear of the enemy that keeps us in the condition that we're in. We get our own foot out of our own way and we'll make progress. Nobody said it would be easy, because if it was easy, this would have been done. It's not easy, because this not for the weak. This work we in separates the weak from the strong, just like it's going to separate the weak from the tail. You can't be weak-minded and weak-hearted in this work, because the devil, he'll eat the weak. He loves the weak. He tried you to see just how strong you are. You say you're with Farrakhan, take him a few dollars. Let me see if you're going to take it. You can't fall for that trick. Separation is the only solution we have to the problem we're faced with today. Our people don't want to hear that in 2014. Some of them were getting educated and were really trained, because colleges, anybody get in college today. And they're getting educated. They're not getting educated, they're getting trained. You mean to tell me you can go to school for 4 years and lack the ability when you graduate to do something for yourself? First thing you do is beg for a job on the plantation. But I could point out at least 5 people who are college dropouts and billionaires, and we admire them, and they want from us what they don't have in order to be employed by them. Now, we don't need that. But if we take what we are getting in these institutions, when we separate, hey, we got to have some education. We need engineers. We need mathematicians. We need all of these various different disciplines to build a nation. But at the heart of it all, we must be rooted in Allah. We must be rooted in truth. There must be freedom, justice, and equality, and we know we're going to have that. Anything other than that, it don't even matter. Anything other than that, we can do without. And so, as I'm listening to you read these scriptures, Brother James, I'm just so mad. I got a long story, but I won't get into that story tonight, brother. I'm just happy to be working my way back home. Happy to have met Sister Queen and asked to be a part of this, brother, because I'm just so full of a whole lot and got a lot to say. And it's the day and time in which we're living. This is the time. It's nation time, dear brother, dear sister. It's nation time, and we don't have any time for play. Playtime is over. We got work to do. Our people are dying daily, every day. And somewhere in the country, some major minor city in America, some black man shot down, some black woman shot down, some child killed. And where Islam is weak in your city, crime is high.
Come on.
But when Islam is strong, crime is at an all-time low. So we just look around us. We know. We can see it's time for a separation. We know it. We have to look ourselves in the mirror every day and say, what would the nation be if the nation was just like me? I can lie to anybody, but you can't lie to yourself.
That's right.
It's time to separate ourselves from this
peace. Yes, sir.
So may Allah bless you. Thank you, dear Brother James. I'm here.
Thank you. Sorry to have stepped on your words, dear brother. I wanted to give Brother Jihad, if such he desires to do, an opportunity to make some statements, perhaps another talking point, if he'd like to. And then I'd like to read this excerpt from that particular episode of Separation and Independence, episode 48. So, Brother Jihad, if you could, if you're still with us and you'd like to say something, dear brother, please feel free at this time.
He stepped away for a moment, but he'll be back.
All right. Well, very good. Let's read this excerpt then as we await our brother's return. And I want to thank you, Brother Kadeem, for your impassioned words of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as they're given to us by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on this subject, separation, independence. And for those of you who are listening who detect that there's great passion among the followers of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan regarding this subject matter, you must understand that we have become sensitive to our people's plight, and we see with clarity of vision from the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad what happened to us and by whose hand it happened, and we see the future, and we know from the wise guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan what steps must be taken to ensure that future for our people. Now, dear Sister Aziza, you stated
yes,
to me before the show, and yet last night when we announced the theme of the show tonight, that this was a subject matter about which you were going to be vocal. I want to hear from you.
No.
Dear sister.
No, I mean, wow. Not that I have lost my passion, not at all, you know. But
we wouldn't think that for a moment. Go ahead, sis.
You know, I just think that we're at a time now where we have to keep it 100, as they say. We have to be real with one another.
That's
the
right.
Minister has given us the example as well as the instruction to be cordial and to be warm and inviting and somewhat politically correct when we handle one another. But as Brother Kadeem has just expressed, every day in a major city, in a small town, that one of us are dying.
That's right.
And we're dying for a lack of knowledge, and we're dying for a lack of unity, and we're dying for a lack of resources. And it's only human nature that we as a people who know the truth and know the solution, we get tired of that. We get tired of
trying to,
like the minister said, you know, go along to get along. And we get tired of being represented as a loving and a peaceful people when all at the same time we are literally at war.
Come on,
and
sis.
We are not fighting back. And that is the shame, because across all aisles of faith, we as black people are suffering the same plight. And
that's
it is
right.
Though we are oblivious to what is happening to us until it hits our front door. So
that's
now
right.
That it's hitting our front door at astronomical rates, what are we willing to do about it? Well, you
Come
have
on.
Put your dignitaries in office and in place to sit down and go and negotiate on your behalf, but we don't even hold them accountable. We don't even get involved in the
mm-hmm.
process in which we say we participate in. So if you have someone who is supposed to be representing you and you are being misrepresented and you're not benefiting from it, then it's time for you to stand up and fight
Come
for
on.
What is yours and stop looking to
mm-hmm.
somebody else to fight for what you rightfully deserve. We have put our lives in the hands of many people, black, white, red, and brown. But it
mm-hmm.
is not until we as a people, the suffering masses, come together, get on the front line, and be proactive in this war
Just like the minister said, you can't go to nobody who is your open enemy trying to be diplomatic and kind.
Jesus.
You have to go there with the spirit of war, and you have to be willing to die for what you deserve, for what is rightfully yours. And we sitting up here, we won't fight for what is right, but we'll die in the street every day for bullshit. I'm sorry, but we will.
That's all right.
We will die in the street every day for nothing.
Right,
Losing our lives, going to prison. You know, our babies getting killed for nothing, but we won't stand and fight for something. And
come
so
on,
now, Brother James, it has come to a head.
That's right.
It has come to a head. America has distributed billions and billions of dollars outside of the United States of America and has never compensated black people for the blood, for the sweat, for the loss of life that we have experienced in this nation. And if we as a people, person by person, block by block, if we don't stand up and do something, then who will? And whose responsibility is it? Don't play politics with me. Barack Obama can't do nothing because he don't run nothing.
That's right. Teach it.
You can't put politics in this. Politics and God does not go together.
Come on.
So if you say you Muslim, so if you say you Christian, so you say if you're a Jehovah's Witness, then stand on your square of your belief and your fear of God and know that God will go with you in righteousness. But to cower down like
some punk.
Don't call yourself a man, and don't call yourself a woman, and don't claim to be a black revolutionary when you sitting up here sucking up to the white man. And that's all I'm going to say for right now. As-salamu
alaykum. Go ahead.
Walaikum salam. That's powerful, sis. That's powerful. And it's time. What a wonderful expression. Wonderful expression. Now, I'd like to read the excerpt from that episode from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, The Time and What Must Be Done, Episode 48, Separation and Independence. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan states, as he references that illuminating book entitled Message to the Black Man in America, in the chapter Economic Program, under the section Separation Independence, all in caps, and ended by an exclamation point. On pages 203 to 204, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad writes, "We must have some of this earth to produce our people's needs. It is the right time that we seek separation and independence for our nation from the evils of our open enemies and not the foolish things that some of us are seeking and doing. Our people seek that recognition which demands better qualifications, education, knowledge of self and others, manners and self-respect and respect of others. But our people just do not have these qualifications until they first come to Islam or submit their will to do the will of God and bear witness to what Allah God has revealed to me," meaning the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, "no intelligent and refined society will accept us until we have the above stated qualification," end quote. The words of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad found in Message to the Black Man on page 203.
Go ahead.
Now, we're approaching 9 o'clock Central Time, 10 o'clock Eastern Time. We certainly want to engage our wonderful audience in this timely subject. So, has Brother Jihad returned?
Let me see. Brother Jihad, are you there? Brother Jihad?
All right. Well, let's now engage our audience. I know there's some passionate questions as well as comments out there in the listening and participating audience online. So at this time, Sister Aziza, if you have any hands up, as we say in the language, either on the phone or in the chat rooms, we certainly like to indulge them at this time with the help of Allah.
Yes, sir. And let me remind you, press one on your dial pad if you have a comment or question for Brother James or Brother Kadeem. And we're going to take a call from area code 443. Your mic is now live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
This is Brother Chance Hall.
Yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Chance.
I just wanted to give the greetings to the sister and the brother. I've been listening to your program for the last, I guess, almost 2 or 3 months. Well, actually, for about a year or so, but off and on. But consistently,
yes,
for the last few weeks, and it's really improving, and I really appreciate what you all are trying to do in the way of the teachings and, you know, and developing the Nation of Islam. It's very powerful, and, you know, this is, I think that this show, I can see this show really becoming something very, a good instrument in pulling us together and unifying us to do all the things we need to do to build our nation. So thank you.
Thank you, Brother Chance.
Thank you, Brother Chance.
Yes.
So much. Thank you.
I do have a comment. And, you know, when it comes to the economic development of our people, that has been the strongest passion I've had while coming into the nation, or when coming into the nation. One of the first lectures that I ever heard of Minister Farrakhan was a lecture that he did in Atlanta. I believe he did it, I'm going to say Clark University, but I'm not sure. But I know that the title of the tape was Power at Last and Forever.
Yeah.
Los Angeles.
Way back.
Yes.
That's way back.
That
was
in Los Angeles. Yes, right.
Yes, sir. I was only, I think I was probably 16 years old. So, y'all, I was in high school, and it was my desire that, you know, I would get with my people, and we would build an economic program, or we would have a business association. This is what I was thinking in high school, that we would be able to function and develop as a people. My parents, or my mother, raised me as a single mother, and she's always been, an independent, you know, business owner of her own. So I understood a little bit about business growing up. But anyway, I had always been intrigued by trying to help my people get more economic. I knew that my people were suffering economically back then. And it was always my desire to help my people to become more business inclined and more economically powerful. And then I heard this lecture. My auntie, well, I was speaking to my auntie about my vision from, you know, when I got out of school and everything, and I told her about what I thought, and she gave me this tape, Power and Last Forever, Farrakhan. And I only heard about this gentleman, Farrakhan, one time, or this man, this God, one time, should I say. And but then I heard this tape, and this tape, I listened, it's the only tape I had of him for about 3-4 years. I listened to this tape and listened to this tape, studied everything he said on the tape. But nonetheless, it moved me to come into the Nation of Islam because not only did I have an economic component to me, I had the religious beliefs that he held were things that I already believed, but I didn't understand it. I couldn't put it all together. I was a great Bible reader even in high school with all my madness in high school. I still read the Bible. Anyway, my point in calling today was to talk about the reparations movement. And I just wanted to say that, you know, while I'm impressed that we are on reparations, I do believe that, you know, reparations is a far-fetched thing. It's a far-fetched thing when we don't have our economic house in order. You know what I mean? Right now, before the reparation movement started or revitalization started being spoken of, we were already on an economic program that we revitalized. I've seen our economic program and our economic struggle revitalized many times since I started back then, 17 years old. So today, I am very much committed to trying to do something about it and trying to actually make it happen. Right now, we started the economic program more than 6 months ago. And then at Savior's Day, Brother Ishmael mentioned how much money we raised by within 6 months, within 5 months. And the amount of money we raised or the amount of money we generated within that time is minuscule compared to the amount of money that we should have raised. In about a month, if we were going to be having 16 million wage earners, we would have had, in about a month, about $24 million if we were on our way to $200 million. So in our desire to talk about reparations and economic development or economic programs, we have to start getting into these numbers if we're really serious about economics. Right now, we're way, way far behind because we only raised about $200,000, which means that 5,000 members of the Nation of Islam contributed, if that, because we have to take into consideration the other people that may have contributed. But we have a total of approximately 5,000 people that probably have contributed $5 a month in that period of time, you know. So let's measure ourselves when we talk about economics. Let's measure ourselves when we talk about, you know, being revolutionary and being free. Right now, we're moving at a real, real slow pace of $200,000 where we should be somewhere in the millions right now. So that's not really good. And the more we lack in the economic program, the more we're going to see crime on the street, the more we're going to see more of our people dying on the street. Because the main reason why they're dying on the street is because of a lack of knowledge, but it's also a very big economic component. Most of them don't do nothing but be on the streets because they don't have employment. They don't have a place to be to make money. But anyway, let me get to my point here. I wanted to throw that out there while we talk about reparations. Nobody in the United States government is going to give black people reparations until we become more organized. The most organized organization in our community is the Nation of Islam, it's been said, and I believe that's true. But one gentleman mentioned that there's nothing wrong with the nation, it just needs to be more organized. And with that means that we need to have a better focus on how we're going to do this economic program and how we're going to make it move forward. For one thing, the economic program is a program that has to be more transparent because we don't know, you know, we didn't know how far we were along until maybe 3 months or 5 months down the road when we first started, which was in October. So we have to impress it upon ourselves and our leadership that we have to be more transparent and more accountable to how that development is coming along. So I just wanted to put that out there. Then I wanted to also ask the question, what is the price of redemption? That's what the minister talked about maybe about 10, 15 years ago. How much could they give us if they could give us anything? You know what I mean? We would break the bank. There's not enough money that America can give us, so the only true way that we're going to be able to see any economic development or any reparations is if we pull the money from within ourselves and develop this economic program. What we need to do as Muslims, I'm talking about the Muslims specifically, Muslims in the Nation of Islam, we need to be making more rich Muslims. That means that we need to be developing more businesses that we can become richer. The richer we become, the richer we can make our people become, and the wealthier our nation can become. Thank you.
You're very welcome, dear Brother Chan. You know, you've made some very important points. On, of course, the reparatory process and reparation. I want to say in terms of transparency, see, these statements, dear brother, when you make them, They may fall on the ears in a context that might imply that something is being hidden or something is being covered. And I know that's not your intention, but we have to address what the thoughts may be of those who hear that kind of concern expressed. You know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has stated the need for transparency and has committed his life to making sure that these funds, how they're collected, how they're being saved, and how they will be distributed, will be done so on behalf of the best interest of our people. Now, this is a man who has demonstrated his integrity for over 54 years as a Muslim, as a revolutionary, as a committed and loyal follower of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and uncompromising, fearless, bold servant of Almighty God Allah and His Christ.
That's right.
We rely upon the schedule of reports that he has determined, along with whatever council and commission he's consulting with. We rely upon that schedule of report. Well, we know that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is one who has never broken his word to anyone, especially his people. He has also demanded that anyone involved in the handling and distribution of these monies that are collected in the Muhammad's Economic Blueprint Ending Poverty and Want movement, that they too give permission to the FOI, the Fruit of Islam, to take their life if they mishandled or mismanaged or just outright stole any of the funds that our poor people are giving to this necessary and magnificent effort. So I wanted to say that, dear brother, transparency, of course, in every government is necessary. There's no question about it. But transparency also must be managed in such way that the enemies of our agenda are not necessarily privy to exactly what we're going to do, although we're not engaging in anything that we necessarily need to hide. But we need to rely upon the wise leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Well, thank you, dear brother, for your comment and your expressed concern.
And can I comment, Brother James, real briefly on that?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. Thank you. You know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan offered the economic blueprint, of course, to everyone. But you have to understand that that plan, that same plan that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad created, was created for the masses of people. And so for those of us who are capable or feel that we are capable of leadership, you know, there is a national fund and then there could be a local fund. In order for you to organize people towards an effort, then you have to do that on a local front. And then you will pull them into the national idea. And so that is a tracking mechanism that those of us who take the position of leadership can, you know, monitor, track, or whatever it is that you want to do if you are uncomfortable with that situation. It is so not about the money, but it is about what you are going to do with it and how not to fall back into the same predicament that we are in now. So that's what it's about. It's about building. So if you can get a group of people and y'all can pull y'all resources together and y'all can get a patch of land or a state or a city or whatever and you all can build, that's the goal. That's the goal. But Minister Farrakhan has to speak to the masses. But he's encouraging all of us to do the same thing. But he knows the mindset of the people. He knows the enslaved mentality that we would give $1 billion back to the white man in 30 days. He knows that. So we just have to, you know, keep it real, but you are not stagnated by the economic blueprint plan. There's a way that you can tie your local efforts into the national effort. And that's all I wanted to say. Thank you, Brother James.
Praise be to Allah.
Thank
Brother
you,
James.
Sister Jesus. Yeah.
May I also add something to that as well, sir?
Go right ahead, dear brother.
Brother, I don't remember the brother's name that just spoke, but nonetheless, brother shared with how the government will give us nothing. And in truth, from the lecture added up, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in that lecture said what they owe us, but they don't have to give us anything because God will take it all from them. So we ask for 8 or 10 states in the added up lecture. The minister say, in truth, the whole thing belongs to us. So really revolutionary appealing, I'll say it like that. They don't have to give a thing because they could sit back and say, well, make me, but that's fine. The God we serve would take it from us, take it. And it says that in the Holy Quran, God gives to whom he pleases and he takes from whom he pleases. The minister referenced on the subject or the lecture we were listening to that preceded this show tonight, he mentioned, oh my God, my thought just slipped my mind. Well, he mentioned, oh, brother, that thought slipped my mind. But it's okay. They don't have to give us any. Oh, the minister mentioned how they have taken care of Israel for 55 years off of our tax dollars. So if they decide they don't want to give us anything, well, we should stop giving them our dollars that take care of other people, and we could take our own tax dollars and pool our own resources. And as sister said, the minister is speaking to the masses. Well, we know that the many people in the masses, they're not going to be down with the giving of the money, but they're going to want some reparations. The mind of a Negro is, I don't want to give nothing, but you could give it to me. You let me get my reparations. We're going to have people that think like that. So we just have to hear and obey what the minister is telling us. And if it's, as sister just said, we got a local effort going on, but the national effort is the focus. Whatever we give, I'm sure, as Brother James said, the minister is, he's not a one-man show. He is counseling. I don't doubt that he is counseling with those around him that are in finance and in other fields, that he can use the benefit of their knowledge to make sure that this money is spent in the best of manner. But I believe that I'm sure he has been given the blueprint by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and he knows what is needed for us as a people. So we have to trust and believe. It's just like when you give your local charity. You don't know what they're doing with it, but you just do your part. Let God sort out the rest.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Thank you, Brother Kadeem. I just wanted to make sure that you completed your point. We want to hear, though, more from the listening audience.
Yes, sir. Okay, we got a few callers on the phone, and Brother Jihad is back, so let me take this question they've been holding for a while.
Yeah.
Okay, area code 513, your mic is live.
Hey, assalamu alaikum, can you hear me?
Walaikum
salam.
Yes,
okay. Walaikum salam.
Sister Aziza and Brother James, and is it Brother Kahim?
Kadeem.
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 It's Kadeem. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Assalamu alaikum. I was calling
Walaikum
salam. Because, well, it's my understanding that in order for us to receive reparatory justice, we first have to, you know, I heard somebody, I don't know who it was, say that there has to be a separation, you
yeah.
know. And to me, the separation comes in, you know, whatever, did I say who introduced myself, Sister Barbara Muhammad?
Please do. Please,
yes, that's my sister, Barbara Muhammad.
Yes, ma'am. And the thing is that there, you know, in different groups and organizations, there are people who really want this reparatory justice system and they want the economic blueprint. However, there are people amongst every organization who don't want it, who don't really want it, but pretend. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I heard him say that we can't, you know, worship man and the mammon too.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
there has to be a separation of the people, because that's, to me, I can see where it's holding us back. There are really some amongst different groups and organizations who really don't want this, and we need to find out who it is that really wants it and who does not really intend on, you know, doing what he said, you know, as being strong and standing up for what you know is right.
Yes, ma'am.
Praise be to Allah.
So, you know, we just have to be strong. I mean, there are some people who, you know, really fear the enemy and they don't want to stand up, but then they do a lot of talk amongst their people like they are powerful. And they really
yes.
don't have
yes.
power except for by the enemy.
Absolutely.
So
that's
yes, all
ma'am.
I have to say. And I'll hang up
thank
and
you.
Continue to listen.
Well, praise be
thank
to
you,
Allah,
my dear
sister. Barbara.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much. All praises
yes,
be to Allah.
Assalamualaikum.
And you're right. You're right, dear sister. You know, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan introduced or reintroduced Muhammad's economic blueprint, Ending Poverty and Want, he mentioned that there must be a moral component tied to this economic blueprint. Why? Because the immorality that has inundated us under living or living under the white man, the European, and his culture, which is so filthy, so deceitful, so dishonest, so absent of moral principle, there has to first be a separation from his mindset, from his culture, from his way of life, and yes, from his religion. And I say his religion, I'm talking about that concocted religion for which he placed or upon which he places a righteous servant of God's name, Jesus, upon to deceive the people. I'm talking about so-called Christianity, that made-up religion, that religion that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that if it was a wet rag and you wrung it out, every drop would spell slavery, suffering, and death. This is a made-up religion. I'm not talking about the teachings of Christ, but I'm talking about that teaching that makes you a slave to your enemy, that cheek-turning teaching, that give, if a man robs your pants, give him your coat kind of teaching, just love your enemy kind of teaching. That's the kind of Christianity that's being force-fed and has been forced upon our people ever since the soles of our feet have touched the Western Hemisphere, and we were allowed to have any kind of faith expression, this false religion called Christianity. That's what I'm referencing. So I don't want any of my true Christian brothers and sisters who may be listening to think that I'm talking about you and your sincere faith expression, your sincere belief in Jesus and belief in God. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about that concocted religion. But there must be a separation. And it's written in the scripture wherein an angel cried aloud in the revelation, "Come out of her, my people, so you be not partakers of her sins and her plagues." That angel cried continually, "Babylon, Babylon is falling." Why? Because she has become the habitation of devils. And I'm talking about white devils, black devils, brown devils, yellow devils, red devils. She has become a habitation, the habitation of devils. She's a cage for every foul bird. Huh? This is what the angel said. And this is why Allah God declared, first and foremost, that we separate. At one point in the methodology of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the resurrection methodology that he applied so successfully to the black man and woman of America, he stated that it was more important to teach separation than it was to teach prayer. And I understand that. Because how can you pray to a God, the concept of which was given by your enemy who is godless? Well, I understand that. So you're absolutely right, dear Sister Barbara.
Okay.
I thank you for your comment. I thank you for your questions as well. Brother Kadeem,
Did you want to weigh in? No, sir, but you said it all.
All praises due to Allah. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I sure would love to hear from my brother Jihad, though.
I think he's on the phone now. Brother Jihad, are you there?
There
Brother
goes,
Jihad,
yeah.
I know his battery was dying. Brother Jihad, are you there?
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get him back.
Okay,
he just needs to put his phone on the charger. Mm-hmm.
All right. I want to read another excerpt from this magnificent episode of The Time and What Must Be Done. And this one points to the reality and realization in the minds of the formers and framers of the Constitution, the righteousness of separation from the enemy, and the unrighteousness, the criminality of the transatlantic slave experience. Look at what Thomas Jefferson included originally in the Constitution of the United States. It's not there now. It was removed. But look at what Thomas Jefferson had stated as he wrote in June of 1776, which then, unfortunately, John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, and other delegates to the Continental Congress took out of the Declaration of Independence. Thomas Jefferson wrote, "He, the King of England, has waged cruel war against human nature itself, violating its most sacred rights of life and liberty in the persons of a dis-African never offended him, captivating and carrying them into slavery in another hemisphere to incur miserable death in their transportation thither," that is, to America. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan states, look at how well Mr. Jefferson wrote what England did, because England was the culprit that introduced us into this hemisphere and started the transatlantic slave trade. This piratical warfare, the opprobrium or shame of infidel, faithless powers, this is Thomas Jefferson writing, is the warfare of the Christian king of Great Britain, determined to keep open a black slave market when men should be bought and sold, or where men should be bought and sold. The original framers of the Constitution, in putting these words to the King of England, were literally using the transatlantic slave trade to bash the king and to justify as one of the reasons why they wanted separation from him. Not only that, which the king was doing, but of course the mistreatment, and I would add primarily so and truthfully so, of the 13 colonies. The king, Jefferson continued, has prostituted his negative, that is, his veto powers over colonial legislation for suppressing every legislative attempt to prohibit or to restrain this execrable.
Spell that again, brother.
Execrable. It means utterly detestable. And I have very few words that I have difficulty pronouncing, but this one gives me a challenge.
That's fine. We know what it means.
All praises due to Allah. So it's execrable or crable commerce. And that this assemblage of horrors might want no fact of distinction die, or distinguished die, rather, the king wants to keep this hidden. He's referencing the transatlantic slave experience. He is now exciting those very people, African slaves, to rise in arms among us and to purchase that liberty of which he has deprived them, and murdering the people upon whom he also obtruded, which means imposed upon them, thus paying off former crimes committed against the liberties of one people, Africans, with crimes which he urges them to commit against the lives of another, white colonists. Now here, and I'd say hypocritically so, Jefferson is bashing the king of England and decrying what they have done to the black man and woman, illegally bringing us here to America and subjecting us to inhumanities such as have never been recorded in the, or equaled in the annals of history. However, as soon as they won their full separation and independence from England, they began to increase, not only continue, but to increase the trade and the subsequent suffering and horrors thereof forged upon black people. They really didn't give a damn that the King of England had transgressed this egregious act upon our people. They didn't give a damn about that. They were concerned because they weren't benefiting from the profits. But as soon as they won their freedom, these hypocritical framers and forgers of this so-called Declaration of Independence, they immediately went not only to continue the slave trade, but to escalate prostitution and the suffering thereof. of our poor people. Can't you see, brothers and sisters, why we must separate? Is there someone else in the audience? As time is flying, we're getting into the last half hour of the show.
Yes, sir. Brother Jihad is on the phone, I believe.
Praise be to Allah. Excellent.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Dear brother, I don't know what the question will be or comment, but I certainly would appeal to you to respond to it, whatever it may be, dear brother. We want to hear from you.
I just want to give, first let me seek refuge with Allah from the rejected Satan. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, I pray that he got my tongue. I just want to give words of appreciation and also encouragement. And my appreciation is for this line. I appreciate our dear sister, Aziza, and yourself and the staff for putting together such a line as this one. And like the previous caller said, I'm learning so much, and this line is growing tremendously. And tonight's topic is right on time. How the minister is guiding us. And all praise is due to Allah, and it makes you think, you know, stepping out of the box, and it makes you think.
Yes.
So I just wanted to give my appreciation and words of encouragement for all of us to continue to study and just remain. Just pray to Almighty God Allah before you ask him for anything. Just thank him. Thank him for everything. Because we only temporary vessels, and sooner or later, we all have an expiration date, and sooner or later, we'll meet that expiration date. So we're just temporary vessels in this world called life. So thank you so much, Brother James, doing an excellent job, along with our dear brother, Kadeem, and the other panelists. All praise is due to Allah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam, dear brother.
That's our brother Jihad Amos Muhammad, the former, the architect, the originator, and organizer of the great BYC, which means Build Your Community, doing an excellent work with our young brothers and sisters in particular in the hood, gathering them together, filling their heads with the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as they're given to us by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and organizing their efforts in such way that attracts the youth in such wonderful way. Our hats are off to you. We applaud your work, dear brother, and we encourage you by the grace and power of Almighty God Allah, you and the BYC membership. Keep up your magnificent work, brother. Keep up your magnificent work. By Allah.
They don't have a choice because my foot is on his neck. He don't have a choice but to keep it up.
That's right. That's right. And I bring that appreciation and thanks on behalf of the BYC. They are beautiful, beautiful brothers and sisters. Inshallah, Sister Aziza, I'm still leaning on you for that help. In that area, all praise is due to Allah.
Oh, brother, word is bond. Whatever we can do to build our people up, that is what I have committed my entire life for. So that's what I'll be doing when I take my last breath. I'm going to die on my post. So, yes, sir, word is bond. I got you.
Allahu Akbar. Salam.
Praise be to Allah.
Okay, we have another question on the phone, Brother Day. They've been holding for quite a while, so let us go ahead and take it now. It's from Florida, 3993, last four numbers. Last four numbers, 3993. Your mic is now live.
Thank you. This is Brother George. With the BYC.
Malaika, Brother George.
Malaika!
How y'all doing, beloved family?
Fine, Bob.
Great.
I would like, I don't have no questions for you, but I just have give thanks to Sister Queen Aviva and Brother Minister James. Thank you all a lot for understanding the mission that my big brother Jihad is on. And thank you for fighting hard for us and all that y'all have done for BYC. Thank you on behalf of BYC, man. We love you guys.
Aww.
All praise is due to Allah. We love you.
We love you. We love you. Yes.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you, Brother George. Okay. Brother Jay, you can let me know when you want to tackle these questions in chat room.
Oh, by all means, we do. I want to read an excerpt from one of the episodes entitled "How Blacks Became a Consumer Nation," just to give voice to the justification for our petition for separation in a separate state or territory of our own. But let's take the questions in the chat rooms, give our brother Kadeem an opportunity, and Brother Jihad, of course, if such he desires, to respond. So let's allow them in by Allah's grace, dear sister.
Yes, sir. We have a question from Brother Justin, and Justin wants to know, how can we make war create bloodshed being outgunned and outnumbered with most of our people being on the side of the enemy?
Yes.
Mm.
Praise be to Allah.
Woo.
Would you like to respond, Brother
James?
Brother Kadeem? Yes, by all means. And then I'd like to also weigh in. But go ahead, dear brother.
The war that brother is talking about is not the war we're fighting. In the Nation of Islam, we are prohibited from owning guns. We don't carry so much as a penknife. We are at war for the minds of our people. Some of our people have guns, and some of our people are on the sides of the enemy, but in the church they say, your arms are too short to box with God. I share with people a lot of times, they wonder, well, you know, the ministers never lost a debate. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad never lost a debate. Dr. Khaled never lost a debate. Malcolm never lost a debate. And I say, because what we got from God. You can't defeat God. The enemy can have guns. Brother, before I became a part of the Nation of Islam, maybe 8 years before, right out of high school, I went into the military. And I'll tell you this. Who makes rain, hail, snow, and earthquakes? Well, the Son of Man. God can make it so cold, soldiers don't want to fight. It's too cold. God can make it so cold, you can't run ships. You can't run tanks. We're not in that type of war. And so there's another phrase or scripture that says, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord. That's not the war we're in. We don't have to worry about that. However, I heard the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan say once, we may not own guns. Don't mean we don't have access to them. And he was talking about connections he had. And it don't mean you shouldn't learn how to use one. Because most certainly if your enemy approaches you with his gun, we always have to go in the name of Allah. And you could take his gun and stick it in his mouth and blow his head off. Because God is not with the aggressor. And as long as we are morally correct and not the aggressor, we're not fearing our enemy. We're not fearing that, but we're not in that type of war. And unfortunately, some of our people are going to go down with the enemy. Because even though the Honorable Elijah Muhammad calls a white man the devil, I heard the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan say, well, what if he said, well, hell, so what? You made me. he's doing his job, and he's doing it well. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I mean, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said the black man is God. Why? We were in a state so bad. Well, he had to say we were God. But at the same time, we also can be devil. So, yeah, some of our people go fight on the side of their enemy thinking that's their brother, their friend, their cousin. Maybe they got a white wife, white husband, white children. I don't know. Whatever their reasoning is, but I do know that God came in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, and he intended to kill them all. So we don't have to worry about that kind of war, dear brother. But we should always be prepared spiritually, mentally, physically to handle anything that may come our way. But if we go in the name of Allah, we will be the victor. And that's all I have to say on that part.
Thank you, Brother Kadeem. Wonderful. I'd like to offer some scriptural support to what you have just shared with our brother in response. And this is from Ephesians, the 6th chapter, beginning with the 10th verse. And it reads, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle," and then some versions say, "we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You see? So
That's
this
right.
is a war, but it's a war, as Brother Kadeem says so eloquently, it's a war for the minds of the people. Therefore, we
That's
must
right.
put on the whole armor of God to fight this war. And what is that? Ephesians continues with the 13th verse. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth." That's first and foremost, truth. "And having on the breastplate of righteousness." Secondly, our righteous bearing, our righteous behavior, our righteous conduct. "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Therefore, that word shod means covered, and the reference to our feet being covered with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan says that not only what that means, not only must we study that we can speak the word of God, but we must live according to that word and walk in the direction that that word is guiding us. "Above all," Ephesians continues, "taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me," as he closes, "that concept, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." So you see, primarily the battle is for the battle of the minds of the people. We are not warring necessarily against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. However,
That's right.
I must add this. You know, one of the most convincing propaganda that the enemy has accomplished, particularly with black people, is that he's the all-powerful.
That's right.
That there's no weapon, no technology, no power in existence on the earth or in the heavens that can overcome his. But not so, dear brother. There is a magnificent wheel above our heads.
That's
right. It is referred to in the scripture as Ezekiel's wheel, and you may have heard Muslims refer to it as the mother wheel or the mother of wheels or the mother plane. On this mechanically built and magnificent planet, on this wheel, it is a weapon designed both for war and for peace.
That's
there
right.
is technology on that wheel that a sound from that wheel can be emanated, and just the sound can disintegrate every structure on earth. Just
That's
the
right.
sound of it.
That's right. That's right.
So while we may be unable, and some of us, as you have mentioned in word, unwilling, God is very willing and very able. We must tell you that there is a power on scene today, dear brother, that makes the white man's power, his nuclear weaponry, his technology look like a baby in comparison. And that power is on the mother plane. They refer to it as unidentified flying objects. But with us, they are much identified. We know what they are. We know when they were built, the purpose for which they were built, the power that they have inside, and the enemy knows as well. And this is why the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, in episode 58, I believe, in the time and what must be done. He appealed to President Obama, gather the scientists of the world, open up the doors of area, is it area 54 or area
51?
51. Thank you, Brother
yes.
Kadeem. Because they have some of these wheels in their possession. And Allah God, in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, allowed these wheels to get into their possession so they could act as his calling card to let them know that he's on scene today, he exists, and he is in power, giving them the option by giving them a peek at the magnificent technology on these wheels, giving
That's
them
right.
the option to submit before they are forced to. There's nothing that the enemy has in his silos, in his hidden areas. There's nothing that he has that can compete with that powerful technology that is on the wheel, both for construction, that is to say there's technology, medical technology there, architectural and mechanical technology there that can build a whole new world. But there is also warfare technology that can
That's
bring
right.
this entire world to its knees.
That's right.
So
That's right.
Don't worry, brother. Allah God has this. He's here. He and his Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, are present, alive, on scene, and they are watching over our brother, our leader, their servant, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And as long as we follow his guidance, obey his instructions, the kind of protection that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has enjoyed since the enemy has waged his threatful attacks against the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam, but there's nothing that they can do with him nor with us. That same protection will be with you, brother, provided you are in the bosom of obedience to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So don't worry. Don't worry. May Allah bless you, brother. Thank you for your question and comment.
Good question. Good question.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Great question, brother.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And since the time is late, but we do have an influx of some new callers, or either my ticker is slow turning over. So if you have a question and you want to get it in before the end of the broadcast, go ahead and press one on your dial pad, and we'll take your question. We have a question in the chat room from Brother Dawu, who says, who is willing to do a series of town hall meetings that will bring black people of all faiths and classes together to discuss the plight of the masses of our people?
Well, I mean, dear brother, the willingness of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and those of us who are his students in his ministry has already been demonstrated over the years. He has conducted several town hall meetings, and he's instructed us to do the same. And if we can help in that area, dear brother, if you have such in the planning stage, contact us. We'll be
absolutely
happy to help you.
Absolutely.
We'll be happy to help you.
And in addition to that, Brother James, and I don't know if I'm misunderstanding what Brother is saying, as if, you know, we can't look for the minister to do things for us that we should be doing for ourselves. The minister, he has done, as Brother James just said, he's done those things, and it's an example for us to do the very same things. And the minister recently said, he said it in the same address, we don't need anybody's permission to teach the truth. So
that's
if you would like to organize a town hall meeting in your city, I say go ahead.
Right.
And as Brother James just said, if you need help, or most certainly, you should reach out to anyone, any of us. And we can definitely help, because we do know that these things take organizing, consistency. It's a lot of work in organizing a town hall meeting, but most certainly, dear brother, you can do that yourself. And inshallah, you are in a city where there's at least a study group, if not a mosque, where you can implore the help of the believers there.
That's right. Thank you, Brother Kadeem. That's right on target. And I'd like to add, you know, the sentiment of the minister, which of course is our sentiment as well. You know, we've been meeting for decades over this problem. The problem has not changed. The answer and solution has not changed, although it has not been necessarily applied. Yes, we need unity. There's no question about that. But it's clear what must be done. We have, look at what I'm not even going to say it from my own mind and heart. Look at what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan writes as he reintroduced Muhammad's economic blueprint. He states, and I quote, well, 50 years ago, we marched on Washington in 1963 and cried, and the cry was, justice and job.
That's right.
20 years later, in 1983, we marched again in recognition of the march of 1963, and our cry again was justice and job. Right now, we're meeting together, leaders and organizations, and our cry is still the same, justice and jobs. We're begging the president, why don't you put up a jobs bill? And even if he did, what good would that do if he cannot back the bill up by producing the jobs. And by the way, the minister continued, a jobs bill, the American Job Act, they say will only produce 3 million jobs. But there are 15 million at the time of the writing out of work. What do you think will, I'm sorry, who do you think will get the job then? You, the minister asks rhetorically. Doesn't history tell us that black people will always be the first fired and the last hired? Do you think that that has changed? Because a black man is in the White House? Well, the scriptures have clearly shown that the judgment of Allah God is against America. In the Holy Quran, in the 7th surah, in the 130th verse, it says, and certainly we overtook Pharaoh's people with drought and diminution of fruits that they might be mindful. Is America under drought right now? Oh, yes. Is there diminution of fruit right now? Oh, yes. The book of Psalms, the 105th chapter, the 16th verse, we read, moreover, God called for a famine upon the land. That's coming, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan writes. These books make it clear that the judgment will be in the form of rain, hail, snow, and earthquakes. Look at the words of President Obama, or the president spoke during his State of the Union address he delivered on Tuesday, February 12, 2013. Now, it's true, he states, that no single event makes a trend. But the fact is, the 12 hottest years on record have all come in the last 15 years. Heat waves, droughts, wildfires, floods, all are now more frequent and more intense. We can choose to believe that Superstorm Sandy and the most severe drought in decades and the worst wildfires some states have ever seen were all just a freak coincidence. Or we can choose to believe in the overwhelming judgment of science and act before it's too late.
That's right.
Well, wait a minute. Now, if you want to believe in the overwhelming judgment of science, understand this. There is not science without a scientist. And rain and hail and snow and earthquake is science. So the question you have to ask yourself and the answer is, who is the scientist that is behind the natural disasters that are afflicting America? What Farrakhan is telling you, he writes, I represent that scientist. That's why I can say it, and it happens right after I say it. Take it or leave it alone.
That's right. That's right.
And as we reach our closing, I want to make sure that I get in the information regarding Muhammad's economic blueprint, ending poverty and want.
Okay, Brother James, can you wait for Brother Jihad has a comment?
Oh, absolutely. I certainly can. I just wanted to get that information in, but go ahead. All praise is due to Allah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yeah. Sister Aziza, can Brother James get that right in line, because it'll fall right in place?
Okay,
if
yes,
you
sir.
Don't mind. All right, thank you.
Yes, sir.
All praise is due to Allah. Dear family, for those of you and those of us who wish to participate in Muhammad's economic blueprint ending poverty and want, it will allow us to help ourselves in the battle to create jobs and end poverty and want. under this wise economic plan, we can now use the collective power of our dollars to build the future for ourselves with 5 cents a day, 35 cents a week, $1.40 a month, and $18.20 a year, multiplied by 16 million wage earners would give us $291 million in 1 year. Everyone can give 35 cents a week as an investment in their future. Donate now and see what our pennies, nickels, dimes can accomplish. Make checks payable to Muhammad's Economic Blueprint. Mail donations to Muhammad's Economic Blueprint, care of Seaway Bank and Trust Company, attention Sherilyn Russell, P.O. Box 19522, Chicago, Illinois, 60619. Once again, make checks payable to Muhammad's Economic Blueprint and mail your donation to Muhammad's Economic Blueprint, care of Seaway, that's S-E-A-W-A-Y, Bank and Trust Company, to the attention of Sherilyn Russell, P.O. Box 19522, Chicago, Illinois, 60619-9522. Thank you for allowing me to get that information in. And now, Brother Jihad, please, if you will.
Yes, sir. I seek refuge with Allah's assistance against the shaitan within and the shaitan without. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the most merciful. I just wanted to say one thing. May Allah guide my tongue. The brother question was, his concern was our people joining forces with the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
The question should be, are they really your people? Who are your people? If they have joined forces with the enemy, then they can't possibly be your people. The scripture says, come out of her, my people. They are your people. And be not partakers of her sins unless you go down with her. The wife of Lot was instructed to come out of Sodom and Gomorrah. But when she looked back, or became bitter like salt, at that point, Allah had separated her heart from the heart of her husband because she did what she thought she should do. And by her following her own will, made her disobedient or insubordinate to the will of God.
That's right.
There was a son of Noah who took flight to a mountain, thought that he can save his life. And Allah ushered Noah, peace be upon him, and told him to continue in his sojourn on this ark. We know it have a deeper meaning, but he told Noah, assured Noah, that he, God, knew who his son was. He said, don't worry about that one, meaning his son. He said, I know who your son is.
Mm-hmm.
So being blood relatives or doesn't necessarily mean you are with me. In the Holy Quran, Allah says, when they were referring to Prophet Muhammad as their father, he said, Muhammad is not the father of neither of you. When the Pharisees or the Jews came to Jesus and said, we are the children of Abraham, he made a distinction between their heart and the heart of Abraham. He said, for I know your father, for you are the children of your father, the devil.
Come on, baby.
For he was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. So if you are lying and you are a robber and you are a murderer, then your connection is with your father, the devil.
Mm-hmm.
So this way the principalities or the mentality come in play. So Allah is not concerned with numbers. He's not concerned with numbers, meaning against his enemy. Sometimes Allah will make the enemy larger than his army so that he can prove to you that he's God.
Yes,
when he takes that
right.
army down. Prophet Muhammad then was less by the 300 or less, and they took the flight over 1,000 and some opposers. So all praise is due to Allah. Jesus said, I can call the legions of angels from heaven to support me.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just him. He said he would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days.
That's right.
The most honorable minister, Louis Farrakhan, rebuilt the nation of Islam within 3 years. Within 3 years. And look at us now by the grace of Allah.
That's right.
He relies solely on those two that's backing him, Allah in the person of Master Farad Muhammad and the exalted Christ, without fear. And while I'm on that, I'll just close out on this. I want to just, Brother James, recite the 13 greatest rules that's been given to us by our brother Al Dickens. And we have implemented these 13 greatest rules in the BYC. And the first rule, a great rule, is the greatest thought. The greatest thought is the supreme being. The greatest power is love. The greatest weakness is lack of faith. The greatest certainty is change. The greatest sickness is fear. The greatest danger is ignorance. The greatest force is truth. The greatest time is now. The greatest good is peace. Number 10, the greatest blessing is understanding health and patience. Number 11, the greatest enemy is pride, egoism, and hate. Number 12, the greatest victory is self-control. Number 13, the greatest sin is lying.
Hmm. Come on, brother.
Thank you very much, big brother. All praise
Thank
is due
you,
to Allah.
Brother.
Salam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wow, that was awesome. Yes, sir.
Yes, it was. All praise be to
okay.
Allah.
Okay. Brother James, there's a sister who wants me to answer a question. I guess I'll answer it before she goes, but I thought it was very important that we hear this question because she directed it to me, and I could have easily answered it in the chat room. But, of course, I want to enlighten all of my sisters. Her name is Anika, and she said that she says, Dear Sister Queen, what position do we have as women when the men are trying to get us to stay at home and take us out of the workforce? I think that we as women are getting in the way, and we should sit back and let the men be men. Hmm. Yeah.
Well, we'll start with
well, come on, Queen.
We wait.
Go right ahead and respond, dear sister.
Woosa. Well, I tell you this, dear sister, that I think, in my personal opinion, we have a bigger responsibility than the men because we are the first educators of man. We are the first caretakers of man. And we are the maintainers of men. And so if we do not get in the trenches of the fight, and I'm not sure if you're talking about a physical fight, but when it's a spiritual fight, then we are all on that battlefield. And the women are the ones who have been charged with the responsibility of giving life on so many different levels, giving life mentally and spiritually and emotionally. You know, we are charged with that. When our man goes out of the home,
that endures whatever there is in that world to endure. And he's beat up, and he's battered, and he's worn, and he's tattered and torn. It is us that restores the life and the vitality to give him the strength and the energy and the motivation and the courage and the inspiration to go back out into the world and continue the battle. So we are in it up to our necks, because while our man is going out, we got our sons at home conditioning their minds to get on the battlefield too. And if we're not doing a good job at that, then what kind of men are we turning out into the world?
Come on, sis.
So, sister, we have a greater responsibility than our men in so many different levels. And when a man is discouraged with everything that he is up against, it is you that are supposed to provide him comfort. It is us as women that are supposed to restore him to the man that Allah made him. So, sister, the battle is for us all. The responsibility is for us all, but we are the mothers of civilization. And mothering doesn't just start and end with you giving birth, but you are to give life to all of the earth, to your sisters, to your brothers, to your children, especially to the men. So, no, sister, I don't know what you mean. As far as them taking us out of the workforce, that is an ideal. However, let me say this to you. I say this to all my sisters who have these false expectations of our brothers. And I really don't care no more about whose feelings I hurt, and I don't want to hear nothing about nobody telling me that I'm contrary to what the minister said. I'm talking about what's going on out here in the world every day. There's a design that has been created to keep the black man from being productive.
That's
and
right.
He has, the enemy has opened up the doors for the black woman to turn her mind around so she could come against her black man. So you can say you don't need a man. So you can become a lesbian, or you can start laying up with white men, whatever choice you decide to make. But the goal is that he has turned you against the black man, because you look at that black man who's not allowed any legal opportunity. You look at that black man who has been deprived of being
Come on,
a man. Productive force in society, and you say you don't want him no more. Well, I'm going to tell you, you got to learn how to play this white man's game. If he is giving you the opportunity to come into his corporate environment or whatever it may be and make the money, then your greatest investment should not be in Louis Vuitton and Gucci or
Come
Fendi.
On,
your greatest investment should be in the vision of a black man that's going to elevate you in the long run. Because all of your bank account and your Gucci and your Fendi don't keep you warm at night, and it don't secure you when somebody is coming in your house or somebody is coming against you just as being a black woman. Your greatest investment is in human resources. So, sisters, if you got a man and he's a good man and he work at McDonald's and he make $10,000 a year, then live within your means, pay the bills, let him invest that $10,000 in his vision and help him bring it into fruition. Stop being foolish, black women.
Come on, Queen.
This white man ain't left him no other game to play. And then when he does get locked up or he does something illegal, you got something negative to say. But how have we encouraged? How have we supported? How have we loved and cared for our black men? When everything, and I mean everything, is against them.
And it's gotten so bold now, so blatantly bloody now, that they're killing them while they're babies because they don't even want to see them grow up. They've already filled their jails, so now they're going to fill their cemeteries with the blood of our babies, our black young male babies in particularly. So we as women have a mighty, mighty responsibility in this system.
Come on, Queen.
And it is my prayer that you understand and that you share and that you do all that you can do to help the black man rise above this condition while the white man has lifted his foot off the black woman's neck temporarily.
That's
because
right,
in a minute
Queen.
It's coming down on all of us, and Allah, God, is your only refuge.
Teach, sis.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
Wa alaykum salam, Queen.
Alaykum salam.
Wonderful question and magnificent response, dear sister.
Yes.
All praise is due to Allah. I can think of no better subject matter on which to close. Man, what a fantastic question and response. All praise is due to Allah.
Ooh. Yes. Yes, sir.
My God, my God, my God.
You know, Brother James.
Go right
I'm
ahead.
I'm glad this sister directed the question to Sister Queen. You know, we have an MGT class that every single male member of the Nation of Islam is prohibited from interfering with.
That's right.
And sometimes, and most times, when women asking questions, she need to get from another sister.
That's
who not
right.
going to fake with her, who not going to play with her. Because Sister Queen, we live in a world where black women, some of them, they don't even understand that where the scripture said destroy the male but spare the female. Black men are destroyed beyond their own imagination. And I'm not talking about, I'm not trying to make an excuse for a black man because I don't make an excuse for myself and I don't allow excuses. Too much information out here for us to blame the white man. However, we have to keep it real. You said it. He will use the black woman against the black man. That's the Willie Lynch syndrome still in effect. They still practicing it. They still exercising it. And when you say, sister, stay home, I don't want you to work. Your first job as a woman is not corporate. It's okay to advance yourself as long as you're within the limits of Allah. But Allah says in the Bible, you are a help meet to your husband. Help him meet the goal. Help him meet the game plan. Because a man without a goal and a plan, our leader said, yeah, that kind of man, he don't need no woman.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got a man with a plan and a vision, help him meet it. Because Sister Queen, you're correct. We get beat up in the world. Don't nobody want to come home and get beat up. You want to come home and get consoled. So don't misunderstand it, dear sister, if you're still listening. You know, because at the end of the day, you're not mad at what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught. You're really upset with what God has instructed for you. Because you're following what the enemy is telling you to do. All praise is due to Allah.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes,
all
sir.
Praise is due to Allah, Brother Kadeem.
Yes,
and I pray, you know, I didn't offend anyone, you know, but we're just at a critical time right now. And it's really about our young black men, and it's really about our men and our babies that we are raising up. They have a tremendous challenge that I see every day where I have to fight harder and harder. It's getting harder and harder to keep our babies out of prison and out of boot camps and out of county jails. And I'm on that front line every day.
That's
and
right.
these people are not playing. And so, sister, stop telling your babies. Stop calling your sons your little man. Stop telling your 12-year-old, your 10-year-old that he's the man of the house. Because when you tell him that, you feed him a negative idea. And you don't understand what goes into the mind of a child when he's 10 years old. You tell him he's the man of the house, and he's immature, incapable of being a provider, incapable of making a decision, and he grows up to be an incapable man who is incapable of being a provider, incapable of making a decision, and he's looking for a mama all his life. Stop telling your babies that they are men. They are not men.
Right.
They are your children. And you've given up on a man. You don't want a man in there to make him a man, so you go make him a man, and you don't have the nature or the ability or the knowledge or the wisdom or science to do so. You are destroying the black future. You are destroying your children. If there is no man present, go find some men and put your sons before them so that they can get a natural example of what men are. And you stop thinking that you are a man because you paying all the bills. Because 9 times out of 10, I don't care who I offend, it's your mindset that got you by yourself anyway. I'm still talking. Assalamu alaikum. Brother James, you can close out.
My God. My God.
As always,
she just thank you because she loves you.
It's all about love. That's the only reason why I do this, because I love my people.
That's right. Playtime is over, Brother James. That's just the way it has to be today. That's the way it always should have been.
Allahu Akbar.
And when you get through, say, let's go have some coffee. Praise be to Allah.
We're way over time.
We're way over time. We have to go. Join us tomorrow for Young Gifted in Black at 8 p.m. I'm going to have the FOI back, and we're going to cheer them on to the April 30th event. Of the what is it called? It's the sale competition of the Final Call newspaper, Brother Derek and Brother Ali. And on Sunday, Jonathan, What Must Be Done, hosted by Brother Jamil Muhammad. And on Monday, Brother Kareem will be back with Conscious Black Nation. And on Tuesday, Brother Rudolph, Sister Michelle, will be here with Disaster Preparedness. On Wednesday, DJ Black Season Friends. On Thursday, I will be back with Brother Kadeem and Student Minister Stanley and Sister Ruth. And next Friday, Brother James will be right back here with Study Group. May Allah bless us all with the light of understanding. I love you. We leave you as we came before
you
in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Allahu Akbar.
One nation, one love, y'all.